The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by Eno, the Capital One Assistant. What's in your wallet?
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
One of my favorite quotes, one of my favorite truisms when it comes to football, strike that, to sports in general, was issued by longtime Houston Oiler coach Bum Phillips. In saying why Bear Bryant was the greatest coach of all time, he said, because he can beat you with his'n and turn around and beat you with urine. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests are at 888-729-3776 on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. I got to sit down with Bum Phillips' son, Wade Phillips, longtime NFL head coach at six different franchises. Wade Phillips, and we did this some months ago on the show, is the record holder for most head coaching gigs in the NFL. Perhaps most notably, he was coach of the Dallas Cowboys in the late 2000s, and he was the coach of the Buffalo Bills in the 90s. He held several interim head coaching jobs, and he is, of course, one of the best defensive coordinators in the history of the league. Wade Phillips also inherited some of his dad, Bum Phillips's, ability to spin a yarn, share some truisms, some common sense country witticisms. I've been excited over the last, honestly, couple of weeks, the prospect of having some longer conversations, more in depth, because I really do, despite my strong opinions, like to ask questions. I just love people's stories, stories of success. More importantly, they're stories of failure. Because failure's a better teacher than success anyway. I love to hear how they're spending their days, like you and me right now. And I love to hear about people's lives. So we got to talk to a bank robber in episode one. We talked to Wade Phillips in episode two. I'm going to be talking to Kevin Durant's manager, Rich Kleiman, coming up in the next couple of days. And we've got a whole host of other interviews that's set up that hopefully will include guys like Charles Barkley and others that we can have a real long, serious, authentic, fun conversation with. But we start today with Wade Phillips, whose last job was defensive coordinator of the Los Angeles Rams. He was unexpectedly let go from that job after helping take them to the Super Bowl. But I asked Wade Phillips about being Bum Phillips' son and all these famous sayings that Bum has and how it was living up to his dad's expectations, his dad's reputation, and his dad's wisdom. Here's some of what Wade Phillips had to tell me. One of my favorite sayings, and I've said it on this show several times on the Will Cain Show, is, and I believe I've got this correctly attributed to your dad, was, I think in talking about Bear Bryant, why he was the greatest coach of all time, is he could beat you with his'n, or he could turn around and beat you with urine, meaning didn't matter which squad of talent he had, which matter of players he had, he could beat you with either squad. You think that's right when it comes to establishing who's the best coach?
Yeah, I think it's a great I think it, I mean, you know, I've said it about Belichick repeating that. I mean, he could take his team and beat yours, but he could also take your team and beat his. I mean, that's a great coach that can take either team and win. And certainly Don Shula was that way for sure.
That kind of leads me to one of your dad's other quotes that I found the most fascinating, which was, there's two kinds of players that aren't worth a damn. Those that do everything you tell them to and those that won't do anything you tell them to. What does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, you get guys that won't do what you say. I mean, you can't have that kind of guy. But the real good ones, they have that innate sense that even the coach tells them to do such and such, but they make a play. They have a tendency to make plays, even though you didn't tell them to do that way. You know, I had J.J. Watt at the Texans in Houston, and we had him. And you know, first thing we noticed was, you know, he'd be running around the block, and you know, and coaching wise, running around behind the block is no. I mean, you just. Yeah, coaches go crazy about guys that run around behind the block because they can't make the play. But he would run around the block, the backside, and make the tackle. And you say, no, yes, great job. and so, but some coaches would never let him do that. I mean, you know, you just, you have guys that they can do things even though you tell them not to do it that way. They have an ability to do it, and J.J. is one of those guys that just can make those decisions. Quarterbacks have to make decisions. With all players have to make decisions whether they can make the play or how to make a play, and it comes up more times than you think.
I want to ask you about one of your dad's quotes, because what I love about his quotes is there's so much simple wisdom in it. You know, it seems like just a country ripcord on the conversation, pull the parachute and get out, but it's not. It's buried in country witticism and philosophy. And one of my others that I liked a lot is when you guys had Earl Campbell, and he failed the mile test. He failed his physical conditioning test. And your dad's response was what?
Well, the media, just like they are today, they all run up to him and say, Bum, what are you going to do? Earl didn't make the mile. He said, well, hell, if it's third in the mile, we won't give it to him. But he also said, but we'll give it to him the rest of the time, which we did. So, he had great common sense. My dad had great common sense. We went through a lot of things where, you know, what should we do? This, or this? And he'd say, well, I think we ought to do this this way. And everybody go, wow, why didn't we think of that? Yeah, that makes sense. So he was great at that.
I like talking to Wade Phillips. And I'm serious, this seems like just jokes or just country talk, but there's so much common sense in that. What does a mile have to do with whether or not Earl Campbell can carry three or four dudes the 4 yards I need? It won't be third and a mile, so I'm not worried about it. We'll keep giving it to Earl Campbell the rest of the time. It's so simple and yet so right. I talked to Wade Phillips for a while. I didn't talk to him just about his dad. We talked about who the greatest defensive players of all time. He's coached some great ones. Reggie White, Bruce Smith, J.J. Watt, DeMarcus Ware, Von Miller. I asked him who the best was. I also asked him who the best in the game today is. He wants to coach again. And you can get the whole podcast listening to me talk to Wade Phillips in the Will Cain Show feed. We're going to have that up. You can go download it here. Long conversation with Wade Phillips. You can also get his book. It's called Son of Bum. I'll play some more clips for you a little bit later on the Will Cain Show. You can hear some of those rankings. Speaking of simple pleasures, Nuno, Pat, Bubba, last night I decided not to stream a TV show. I've gotten a little snooty in my television viewing. You know what I mean? A little too much streaming from Netflix, maybe Ozark or whatever it may have been. I decided I needed to delve back into deep into the cable dial. You know, I didn't do Nuno style. I didn't go Blue Bloods or NCIS or anything like that. What's up, Donnie Wahlberg? We love you. I just didn't do anything like that. I went a little deeper, right, into like TLC. You ever get down in those channels a little bit, Nuno or Bubba?
TLC. I've watched a lot of the old episodes of I Almost Got Away With It, like those type of things.
Okay. Here's what I saw last night. First of all, on the cable guide, it got my full attention. Dr. Pimple Popper. And I was in. What's wrong, Bubba?
That sounds awful. Just the title alone, I'm out.
Don't you know those are some of the most popular videos on YouTube? People find relief in seeing people squeeze zits, big ones.
I'll pass. You can keep watching that.
It's a thing. I don't know if it's like stress relief or what, but people like to see what comes out. And let me tell you something. Dr. Pimple Popper does not mess around with your simple blackheads. This is not a little zit. I'm talking about massive, almost deformalities that we're dealing with here. And my wife
Wait, real quick. Is deformalities a word?
I just made it up. Okay. That's a good one if it's not. I don't know. But that was a good one. I didn't even feel a little bit insecure about that one, Pat. I mean, I wasn't confident it is a word, but it felt real right. Because I'm talking about, like, big growths on the side of someone's face, like a knot, right? But it's like a zit that doesn't have a head, and it's underground. And she comes in, Dr. Pimple Popper, and she gets a scalpel. Do y'all want to hear all this? Doesn't matter. I'm going to tell you anyway. And she'll slice it, and I got to tell you something. What comes out, it will make you – it makes you very uncomfortable. My wife, she said – I cannot watch, but don't change the channel. It's awful and yet awesome. It's really weird. And telling you, gigantic amounts of it too. Just check it out, I guess. Dr. Pimple Popper or.
No, I won't. That sounds horrible.
You can probably find some homemade videos of it on YouTube. It's weird. as is what it will be like if we don't have college football. I've talked about that a lot. One of the guys who's been all over is our buddy Bobby Carpenter, because if you don't have college football, it's actually not just about football. The revenue that will be missed will bleed off into other sports, and we're talking about a lot of money being lost. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever thought about this? Would it be better for college football to have no games at all or put on games with no fans in the stands? I know what your knee-jerk reaction is, right? I know what your immediate answer is. But if you think about it for a minute, they might actually be incentivized to have no games. I'll explain. And we'll hang out with Bobby Carpenter next on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
GEICO has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
I think there may be this perverse incentive. I think we break this down. College football might actually be incentivized for no games. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. To break it down, we're hanging out with our buddy, ESPN football analyst, Bobby Carpenter, on our phone lines. What's up, Bobby?
William, how are you doing, man? And where are you at right now? I know you escaped New York. Dallas, somewhere else in the Midwest?
I am in the Volunteer State, a long, storied tradition and relationship between Tennessee and Texas. I got out to Tennessee. That's where I am.
That's good, man. That's good. I'm glad to see you made it there. You're nice and safe and hunkered down right in the middle of America where you should be.
You know why they're called the Tennessee Volunteers, don't you?
Was that the volunteering for the Alamo?
In general, volunteering to go to Texas. Sam Houston, the godfather of Texas, or that would be, I guess, Stephen F. Austin. But the first president of Texas, the general of Texas, Sam Houston, is a longtime Tennessean. He was a politician here in Tennessee. And then, of course, Davy Crockett is who you're thinking of. He was a Tennessean. He led his volunteers down to the Alamo. Yes, I'll tell you, we're intertwined. Brothers, if you will.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff, man. I appreciate the history lesson.
Right before we got on the air, Bobby said to me, what are you doing watching Dr. Pimple Popper? I've seen that stuff in real life, and everybody on the show started screaming, save it for air. What are you talking about, man? You've seen these big zits lanced in real life?
Yeah, okay, because once you have to get out a lance or a scalpel, it no longer becomes a zit. Now it's a boil. Like, it's transitioned. That's
really?
Large. Yes, okay. If you transition from a needle to a lance, that's where my delineation, it transfers over to a boil. And so I don't know if you're aware of this, but the things that guys do to play football and, like, some of the things that happen hygiene-wise, like wearing all that pads, all the equipment, and everything that goes on, dudes develop some of those things over the course of time. And so you might just be walking through the training room, and they might just spray, you know, they'll slap some iodine on there, spray some lidocaine, you watch somebody bust out a scalpel and then just slice through one of those things. It is disgusting. You're like, you got to stay out of the way so you don't maybe get sprayed with whatever the heck's coming out of that stuff.
You know
that. It's gross, yes.
Dude, I watched it last night. I know. I saw what erupted. I saw the eruptions. And let me – so do you know – you're not a doctor. Do you – what is a boil? Is a boil literally just a bit, zit that's too big or something like – what is a boil? I don't know.
I don't know. I think it's more of a growth underneath that begins to harden. And so even when you watch that stuff on TV, you feel like you want to put on some sort of like science protective goggles so that it doesn't get on you, even though it's through a screen. It's disgusting.
Well, I learned a lot. Like, they're not all zits. Some of them are called lipomas, which is a fat growth. It's like where your fat cells just keep growing, then you get a lump, and they have to take that out. But that comes out like not a baseball, but like a bowl of Jello, where the zit thing, you know what that looks like. Yep. Everybody here can use their imagination. And I know you want me to move on. It's just hard for me. I'm talking to you, listener. I know you want me to move on. It's hard for me because I get so fascinated by it. But I'm also fascinated by college football with Bobby Carpenter here on the Will Cain Show. So, man, I started doing this a couple days ago, like addressing the prospect of we might not have it. I saw you tweeting. I think you did it on GetUp. I'm not sure, but I saw you really breaking this down and taking a lead on this discussion. If we don't have college football, it's massively important and has a side effect to every other collegiate sport. Tell me about that.
So when you start out, most athletic departments, and this goes for the majority of schools, even places like Kentucky where basketball is king, but football, there's a reason why the stadiums are so big, and then college, they're bigger than NFL stadiums, is because they've been filled with massive amounts of people. They drive the donations. They also drive the ticket sales and all the revenue to go out there. And so if you look at a lot of athletic departments, Will, I mean, it's just simple. It's a simple plus minus. It's, you know, your credits and your debits. All of the money comes in for football. Like Ohio State, since that's what I'm the closest with, and I was talking to somebody in the athletic department about this a couple days ago, where, you know, every time they open Ohio Stadium for a game, they're expecting at least $10 million in revenue. Ideally, they'd like to get more. You do that seven times a year, you're getting up $70, $80, $90 million. You couple that with the TV contract, you throw another 50 or 60 in there, it's like, all right, now we're starting to get in the ballpark where we're over $150, $160 million to be able to pay for the other 35 varsity sports that Ohio State has. And that is the case at the Michigans. It's the case at the Alabamas, at Texas, at USC, wherever it might be. Football, it starts the fiscal year for the university, the athletic department, because all the money comes in, and then you can pay everything else behind it. And if football doesn't exist, even without the fans, because this is not the NFL model where the TV contracts are massive. They're big. But they need to bring in $70, $80, $90 million in tickets, in apparel sales, in concessions. And if you don't have that is going to cripple athletic departments.
So here's some of what Bobby's talking about. I'm looking at an article from the Associated Press that I think went up today. 85% of, I think, athletic department revenue is coming from football. Okay. He said $10 million per home game. I'm looking at $14 million. This is what the AP says for Power 5 teams. Home game is worth $14 million. And then there was another stat I wanted to read off to you guys here. Here it is. 65% of athletic directors polled suggested they're going to look at roughly a 20% drop in revenue this year based upon their presumption of what the coming season may look like. Now, here's what I want to ask you, Bobby. There's this perverse incentive, I think, right? Because that $14 million per game includes TV revenues. And I believe, I'm not 100% on this, but I believe most of your sports rights holders get paid whether or not the games are on. So, like, ESPN has to pay for NBA and, you know, whoever has to pay for the college football games, Fox and ESPN and CBS. So they theoretically will get that money from the TV companies, the TV networks, right? So are they incentivized to not have games? Because they're still going to get that money. But they put on a game and they can't have fans in the stands. There's no concessions, no ticket sales, but they got to do the cost infrastructure of actually putting the game on. I'm wondering if they're perversely incentivized not to have a season.
I wouldn't say that. Maybe in the NFL you could get away with just getting the TV revenue. But in college football, you have to have the gates. You mentioned the concessions. There's parking.
No, but I'm saying if it's a choice between no games or games with no fans. I'm saying if that's the choice. You see what I'm saying? Like, if they have to put on games with no fans, they're not going to get concession revenues or ticket sales revenues, and they're getting the TV money either way. So what I'm saying is if we get to the fall and it's like, well, we're ready for football, but we're not ready to pack 60, 70, 80,000 people into a stand, I'm wondering, like, if the conference commissioners and university presidents are like, wow, we make more money not putting on a game.
Yeah, if you say that, because your costs are going to be fixed, essentially, you know, for the stadiums. And once you open them up, it's going to cost money, even if nobody's going in there.
Right.
I would have to say that there's some truth to that. And if you don't play, you could probably pressure your coaches into taking less money. If they're playing, they're going to be preparing. So there's no way you'd be able to do that. That might be the weirdest incentive imaginable, and it's definitely not something I think that anybody's thought about, Will, which is, that's why I appreciate coming on here, because that's something that kind of blew my mind. But the other thing is, too,
but I could be wrong, Bobby, and I will say, I bet they'd put it on anyway, despite the incentives, because you just can't skip a season. I just don't think you can do it.
Well, because then here's the other thing. So if you skip a season, now you start getting to what they're trying to do in the spring sports, where they're giving everybody another year. Well, if you're doing that, you have to expand the roster sizes, expand scholarships, because you can't tell the new kids coming in that they don't have a spot, and so the spring sports cost more. So if you have 20 guys exiting, and let's say, you know, some of the guys go to the NFL, but a two-thirds of them come back. You're going to have to pay now for a roster that's really operating at 115, 120% capacity when you start talking about scholarships, room and board, tuition, all of those things. And that's something I don't think that they would want to try to embrace.
Right. Always love talking to you, man. You want to hang out? Can you hang out for another one, or you got to go to work?
No, I got nothing. Work. This is, dude, I'm sitting in my house, in my office. What are we talking about?
All right, hang out, because I know you love accountability bowls. I've seen you tweet. I'm going to start one next. It's going to be like a pre-accountability bowl, like a pre-crime for an accountability bowl. Bobby Copper is going to hang out with us. Somebody at ESPN's already put themselves on notice, put me on notice, that they're in line for a coming accountability bowl. That's next on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Let's put somebody on blast. Let's put an ESPN icon on blast. Let's get after Mike Greenberg. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. We're still hanging out with ESPN football analyst Bobby Carpenter. And Bobby is a frequent on the ESPN morning program called Get Up. I would dare say he's in the family. Wouldn't you say, Bobby?
I'd like to think of myself as in the family. Thank you.
Who's in the family? I'm not in the family. Who's in the family over there at GetUp? Do you feel like that's a dangerous question for you to answer?
No, I think you could look at some of the reoccurring characters. You got basketball, you got Jay Williams, Richard Jefferson. Football, you got Spears, Orlovsky, Dominique. Oh, goodness, I don't want to leave anybody out.
Yourself.
Ryan Clark, maybe myself. You know, Acho
has been. Yeah.
You know, that's kind of the group that has been there a significant amount of time. You know, Jalen's obviously in there a lot for basketball as well, but that's kind of like the core group of people that come on.
Yeah. And honestly, I think you guys have done a great job. That show has gotten so much better since you guys have all started appearing. It's something that you want to and need to watch in the morning that helps set the table. And that's the whole point, I think, of morning sports. It's what's important, how are we talking about it, who's driving us forward and giving us something interesting to talk about. But I think Greeny might have gotten a little over his skis again today. Bobby is a big fan of the accountability bowl, or he makes fun of me. I'm not quite sure. But he's on Twitter sometimes. He'll hashtag something accountability bowl. He's aware. We're going to go ahead and remember what you say, and we're going to bring you to account when need be. Right, Bobby?
I love the concept of the accountability bowl, Will. You do a great job with it.
Speaking of, just for anybody that doesn't know, I'm going to give you a little taste. This is a little taste of me. Go with the second cut, Pat, I think, if we're just going to do this. Me, you know, conducting an accountability bowl. Oh, what was that on? Oh, yeah. Wentz, Dak, Eagles, Cowboys. Go ahead, Pat.
What are we looking at here? See, that's the big mystery in the end. What are we looking at? I'm seriously starting to think, am I taking crazy pills here? Does everybody need a red pill? Are we all living in blue pill world and I'm the only one that's taking the red pill? How is it that I see and nobody else sees? Oh, my gosh. You know what, Junior? I don't know what Will sees either, other than the truth. If I went on Get Up, I would not stop talking. Never been on that show. But if I ever got on, they'd have to cut the mics. Because I will be talking about this one for a long time.
I didn't remember being so out of control. That, Bobby, was an accountability bowl over Dak versus Wentz. And as you can hear, some of the people I was responding to were guys, not like you, I don't think, but other guys on Get Up, like Orlovsky and Riddick. And everyone else who lined up to pick Wentz over Dak. They just had to be held to account, man. Well, your fearless leader, Mike Greenberg, today, he went back, honestly, to the same well, setting himself up for a future accountability bowl. Listen.
I believe that the Philadelphia Eagles are going to be the number one seed in the NFC. And that is because if you look at the divisions, all the other three are loaded. The NFC West is loaded. The NFC North is loaded. And the NFC South is probably the best division in the entire NFL. The NFC East stinks. There are three new quarterback situations, or three jumbled or questionable quarterback situations, three new head coaches. Meanwhile, the Eagles are the model of stability. They have the best quarterback in the division. In my opinion, they won the division last year, and they've gotten better. The Cowboys were their closest competition last year, and they've gotten worse. So I am going to double down this morning on my belief that the Eagles are going to win the NFC East easily because it is the worst division in the NFL, and they have, in my opinion, the number one track on the number one seed in the NFC.
There's Mike Greenberg going back to the same well. And here's my thing to you, Bobby. I'll ask you this. I don't understand the unwavering, unconditional love for the Philadelphia Eagles. Everybody gives it to them. They give them their faith and belief year after year. And I don't get it. I don't get what they see. I don't get the red pill they haven't taken yet.
Yeah, I like the Eagles. I like what they've done. I think Carson Wentz is immensely talented. But here's the problem, is you don't know how much you're going to get of Carson Wentz each and every year. Like, until he gives me 2 or 3 years in a row where he's not injured, and it's not like he hasn't had a good team around him. Like, and last year, believe me, the team fell apart. And I think Carson Wentz is a really good quarterback, but I don't know if there's this absolutely dramatic difference between him and Dak. And I might look at the, and I look at the two rosters, and I still think, especially, you know, with Dallas, adding Gerald McCoy, re-signing Amari Cooper, bringing in Poe, like bringing in Clinton Dix, like they have some pieces there that I think they're just on par, if maybe not having a better roster than the Eagles. So if you want to sit there and say that Wentz is slightly better than Dak, okay, that's up for debate. I can tell you that Dak has been available. Well, just put that aside for a second, man, so we can get to the other stuff. But if you want to look at the rest of the rosters, and I could tell you with probably a significantly greater certainty the Dak's going to be available for all 16 games, I can't sit there and say the NFC East is going to be a walkthrough. Like, I don't think that that's going to be the case. I think Dallas will contend mightily. And here's the other thing that nobody was taking into account. The fact that, okay, you've got the NFC East, Washington's rebuilding, Giants are still rebuilding, Dallas, I think, is there, Philly, we can say, is there. But Philly won the division. So Philly, you know who they have to play for their three crossover games? They have to play the division winners of the South, of the West, and of the North. Dallas gets to play the second place team, which in some case can be a significant drop off. So those are going to be three games I think that people will look at and say, wow, look at this schedule. Well, yeah, when you're playing San Francisco and Green Bay and New Orleans, that's going to be significantly different than Dallas's schedule.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. By the way, I think Greeny has a point or two that he makes in there with some validity. The biggest acquisition the Cowboys made, Bobby, that I think you didn't mention there is Mike McCarthy. I think he's going to be the biggest difference maker. But I do acknowledge what Greeny's saying here is because of coronavirus pandemic, shutdown, national quarantine, they're not getting to implement things they should be implementing. And that plays into the Eagles' hands. However, I just don't get it, man. I think people keep coming back to this hope, this unwavering belief in the Eagles. And I know they won the Super Bowl a few years ago, but that was a quarterback that's no longer there. I know that team is different specifically on the defense than when they won it all. And they seem to be a team. This is what I'm getting at. And I know people are going to think this is coming out of hate. It's not. I believe right now the Eagles get more benefit of the doubt than almost any team I can think of in the National Football League as far as analysis is. That's what I think. More benefit of the doubt.
Well, there's a lot of guys that have relationships with Philadelphia there. So when you know people, you're obviously going to give them the benefit of the doubt a little bit. I will say this, though. Well, when you look at the two teams down the stretch, one team got it done and one team didn't. Philadelphia came to play, and they won the games they needed to, and they ultimately won the division and got in the playoffs. Dallas did not. And so we can sit here and talk about how good Dallas's roster is and how good Dak is and Zeke and Amari Cooper and all the different things, and maybe Mike McCarthy, he's going to add something different to this. But still, when I look at that at the end of the year, when the things mattered the most, because I think Dallas had a better team and I think would have probably fared better in the playoffs, but they couldn't win the games to ultimately get there. Now, maybe the change of the quarterback, like you, or the coach, rather, and Mike McCarthy, maybe that'll make a difference this season.
All right, it's Bobby Carpenter, ESPN Football Analyst. Catch him on Get Up on radio in Columbus, Ohio. He's a good friend of our show. Bobby, thanks for hanging out, man.
I appreciate it, sir. Thank you so much.
Hopefully we'll be talking to you more soon. There goes Bobby Carpenter here on The Will Cain Show. I was going to ask him a draft nerd question, which I love, and that is Clemson linebacker Isaiah Simmons. Is he a linebacker? Is he a safety? Is he a difference maker? We'll have to get to that next time here on the Will Cain Show. But more of Wade Phillips. My long sit down with Wade Phillips, which you can go check out in a long form interview on our podcast feed. I'm going to ask him, who are the best defenders he ever coached? Because you have to realize there are some big time names that have been under Wade Phillips. I'm talking best of all time names. That's coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Who's the best defender of all time? Well, Wade Phillips, longtime NFL coach, he's coached almost all of them. Reggie White, Bruce Smith, Von Miller, DeMarcus Ware, J.J. Watt, you name it, he's just about coached them. So who's the greatest defender of all time? I'll ask him. I already have in a long-form interview, and you can hear it coming up in just a moment here on The Will Cain Show. I've got a new fascination. It's Dr. Pimple Popper, and Jim from South Carolina is on the phone lines. What's up, Jim?
Will, what's up, my man?
You tell me.
I am so excited to talk to you today, man. Listen, I love the show. Been listening forever, right?
Thank
but you have hit on the pulse of America today.
Okay.
The Pimple Popper is awesome, man. I have watched that show, and you are hitting it exactly right. It is so gross, and it is so nasty. But you can't stop looking, right?
No, no, like, it's sweet relief.
The next plug coming in here, and you're thinking to yourself, how did they get to this point, right? How are they letting that growth on their face that's a tumor, right? These aren't pimples, right? These are like tumors on their head, right?
Yes.
How did they get that way? Well, I've been this way for 5 years, Doc.
Yeah, most
You're
of them say
now?
Most of them say the thing has been growing for a decade. That's what I got last night in my one episode. Most of them said about 10 years, and it's really accelerated in the last three or four. And you're right. I do wonder, didn't you cross the threshold about 7 years ago, man?
It's sweet unbelievable, relief. Though. I mean, if America watched Pimple Popper. First of all, the doctor is smoking hot, Will. You didn't say that, right?
It's Dr. Lee is good looking.
Doctor, right? And she's like 5 foot tall, and she's jamming, right?
What
but
are we
the
doing?
Patients that come in, that's just a sidebar, right? Just a little tease, right?
Just a parenthetical,
to
right?
On the show. But the patients are unbelievable, man. They come in here with the most ghastly stuff you'll ever see in your life. And this stuff just pours out.
And you're 100% right. You cannot turn away, and then you got to see what the next sad fellow walking in has on his head. It's so hard to walk away. Jim, I appreciate the call. I appreciate you letting me know I'm got my finger on the pulse of America. I always thought I did, you know. I just thought, you know, the whole values and truth and American flag thing. But it turns out Dr. Pimple Popper's what proved it. I got my finger on the pulse of America. I had a long-form conversation with Wade Phillips. Look, I was genuinely interested. When they said, do you want to talk to Wade? I was like, yeah, but I don't want to talk to Wade for 7 minutes in a short radio hit. I want to talk to Wade for like 30, 40 minutes. I got too much I want to know. I mean, hell, he's had 6 head coaching jobs. And he's coached a lot of dudes. So I did. I got to sit down with Wade for like, I think it was 40 minutes. By the way, Wade, big fan of the Will Cain Show, it turns out. And we're going to get that interview up. It's not just yet, but shortly it's going to be up on the podcast feed. You should go listen to the whole thing. But here's a little tease. I asked him, who's the best you've ever coached? Because you coached just about them, all of them. So who's the best? Here's what Wade had to say. You mentioned J.J. Watt. One of the advantages of having coached in so many different places is you've absolutely coached some of the best of all time, from J.J. Watt to DeMarcus Ware to Von Miller to Bruce Smith to Reggie White. And early in your career, Ricky Jackson. Who's the best defensive player you've ever seen?
You know, Reggie. I had Reggie in like his second year, and I think the third year, his third year in the league, we had a strike, and so players didn't play but 12 games that year, and so Reggie had 21 sacks in those 12 games. Now that's the best season of any guy. I mean, you know, the best I could ever. It's a Babe Ruth number. I mean, it was unbelievable for that time or any time for a guy to be able to do that. So, I think that year with Reggie was the greatest. Even though all those other guys you talked about are all great players and Hall of Famers, and I've coached some other Hall of Famers too. So, but Reggie that season was the best ever.
The only other guy you seem to put in the conversation in your book, Son of Bum, was Bruce Smith. But you said they are two completely different types of players. Reggie White and Bruce Smith just approached the same position very differently. How's that?
Well, Reggie was a powerful. You know, both of them could run fast. Reggie was a big, powerful guy, and used his power. He would overpower people. Aaron Donald has that same trait, you know. But Reggie would just overpower him. He could run around him, but he had enough, generated enough speed and power to just run through him or overpower people. And then Bruce could run around people faster than anybody, you know. So he could had a great bend. You know, you talk about or see guys bending around the corner. Well, he was tall, but he could bend real low and go around and make plays that way. So both of them had their own way of doing it.
How about today's game? As you look around, you mentioned Aaron Donald. You coached him with the Rams, of course, Von Miller when you were with the Broncos. But you look at today's game, who's the best defender in the game you see today?
Well, I'd say Aaron Donald and of course, Von Miller's still up there. Aaron Donald and J.J. Watt are the best defensive linemen, you know. So there's some other really good ones. But, you know, I'm a little partial to those guys, but I know they're both just tremendous players and done things that nobody else has done. They've got five Defensive Player of the Year awards between them.
It's natural you'd be partial to guys that you've coached in the past, but I've also read you're wanting to come back again. You're ready for another opportunity. So I was curious if you might say somebody out there that you'd be looking for to coach in the future.
Well, let me have them. I'll put them on the list. Hire me.
It's true though, right? You're wanting to get back in the game. You're not retired yet.
No, I'm not. Hope not to be, but. You know, we'll see what happens.
It's Wade Phillips. Had a long conversation with him. You can check it in our podcast. Y'all can check out his book, Son of Bum. Six different head coaching jobs. I don't know how many of them were interim. You know, one of the things about Wade is, and I think this applies to you or me, and I've always talked about this. I've come to learn it. It's one of those things you kind of learn with age, how much success can be situational. Are you in the right place with the right support? Are you in the right situation? When you're young, you feel like you've got, you know, a forehead made of steel, and you're going to bully and burrow your way and absolutely knock your way through any obstacle and adversary. And it's true. You can do a lot of that, but you also realize there's some situations where honestly you're not set up to succeed, and there are others where success is absolutely easier to accomplish. I think that's true in life, and I think we can all acknowledge that. Not everybody has the same starting point, but we have hopefully the same number of obstacles, meaning the ones that we as a society put in front of each other. But we're not going to pretend like we all start at the same start line. And the same thing in sports. Certain quarterbacks were really good and drafted to really bad situations. I don't know if that's what Cincinnati is. I'm not saying it is. Other people do when it comes to Joe Burrow. But you got to think about it. You look at guys like David Carr, you know, with the Houston Texans, incredibly talented. How was that situation? Wade's been in a lot of different situations, so I want to know which ones were set up for failure, which ones were success, you know, and what those two different kinds of organizations and owners look like. In fact, we get into it, like, because he worked for Jerry Jones. How you feel about that? Are all the reputations true about Jerry Jones? I think I have that clip. I'll play that for you coming up on the Will Cain Show. You check out the rest of it on our podcast. Plus, I got your calls on various things we've talked about today, like who's the greatest college basketball player of all time. It's not Michael Jordan. That's more on the Will Cain Show.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to the Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.